From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Sylvain Goyette.
And we have Sylvain here with us today. Welcome to Defrag Tools, by the way. We're not in the normal studio today. We had a little scheduling conflict, but they were nice enough to send a camera crew out to my office. So we are on location this week. Sylvain is here to talk about some cool perf stuff, right? ADK, yep. Assessment and deployment. Well, really, it ships in the assessment and deployment kit, but what we're really talking about is the Windows Performance Toolkit.
Yes.
So,
Assessment toolkit that ships with the ADK,
yeah.
And the WPT toolkit, the Windows Performance Toolkit, that also ships with the ADK.
Yeah.
All available on MSDN.
Available for download. We'll have a link to that.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about some memory stuff, huh?
Yeah. So in this episode, I wanted to discuss memory footprint. How do you actually diagnose what's going on in your system if you see that you're bumping into memory pressure issues, if you're seeing that the memory usage level is higher than you would expect, what's causing it? Is it a process, run amok, memory leak? So how do you actually use a toolkit to diagnose that kind of problem?
And a lot of times you would first notice this just because your system seems kind of sluggish. Maybe you've seen the hard disk is getting hit a lot. There's a lot of paging.
Exactly. It's usually, first cause of responsiveness issue.
Right.
You have memory pressure. You need to page data in and out of memory to the disk.
Yeah.
And every time you try to launch a document, launch an app, navigate to a new web page, there's paging happening, slowing down the system.
So then you'd crack open your Windows Performance Toolkit and let's take a look.
So the first step would actually be to get a measurement, right? So the first thing you would do after installing the ADK from MSDN would be to launch the Windows Assessment Console tool right here. So the console tool is where you're going to launch any test that we have in the ADK. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a memory footprint. So I'm clicking here on Run Individual Assessments. And in that list, you see a bunch of stuff, Hibernate, IE Launch, IE Rendering Performance. And one of the tests is memory footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can configure it. There are two modes that you can use for this assessment. One is called Full Run. The other one is Quick Run. Full run will actually reboot the machine like six times to fully prep the boot prefetcher, train the system.
Okay.
I would recommend that if it's a brand new image, right? You just went through UBI, brand new system. You want to optimize the system before you get a measurement. If you've been using the system for some time now, right? Mm-hmm. It's already in a steady state. Then you would use a quick run. It's going to be much faster. We'll do a single test pass, and you're going to get measurement right away.
So this would be great for like an IT administrator who's like prepping a corporate image, or for like an OEM who's like putting together an image to ship out to customers.
Exactly. Yeah. Or even a developer who wants to know if their app has significant impact on memory footprint.
Right. Okay.
So once you've set up the way you want it, quick run or full run, you would just click on the run button. It will reboot the machine, and then it waits 10 minutes after you get to the desktop, let things stabilize, and it gets a snapshot of the memory footprint in an idle state 10 minutes after boot.
Okay.
There is a trace, an ETL trace, captured along the whole process, so you could be able to see dynamic allocations along the boot process.
Okay.
But basically what you're going to see in the report at the end, once you've executed the test, is an exhaustive view of that snapshot 10 minutes after boot.
Okay.
So I've already done a test pass. We don't want to wait 20 minutes for this to complete.
Yeah, it would be we like those cooking shows, and here's the cake we already made.
So let's open the results, get that right on my desktop. Here, some memory. So the ADK always produces an XML report. So that's what we'll open here. And this is the overview.
Charts,
and then you get multiple metrics, right? So here it was taking on a system that has 4 gigabytes of memory. There's 2.5 gigabytes of memory available, and there's 1.4 gigabytes of memory being used by, you know, the OS, by drivers, by processes.
Like sort of stuff that starts up on boot.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Okay.
That ends up using memory, you know, at all times.
So this kind of gives us a good baseline of just here's what's pre-installed or what's loading up during boot.
And, exactly. And yeah, what's exactly.
Your, yeah, memory footprint of this install.
Yep.
Okay.
And then you can use that report to do drill down analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So below those top level metrics, you actually have, you know, a segmentation for drivers. So drivers allocating memory on pools.
Right.
You can see how much, you know, memory is used by code, mm-hmm. By data allocations. And then you have the processes here, what we call working sets. You know, process working sets are all the pages in memory referenced by process.
Okay.
Yeah. So here it says private because, no, you need to distinguish between private working set and
okay.
the working set itself.
Okay.
Private pages are used by one single process.
By that specific yeah. process, not shared memory or,
exactly.
or kernel.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, okay.
So here you see 600 megabytes of data are in private working sets.
Okay.
And then you see binaries.
Oh,
so
okay.
just no DLLs,
DLLs executables.
Sysfiles, executables loaded in memory,
uh-huh.
200 megabytes, and you also have no the driver allocations.
Mm.
So you have page and non-page allocations. So we
yeah.
need to make a distinction here.
Yeah.
So some code in drivers is so critical
yeah.
that it never gets paged to the disk.
Right.
It has to always be resident in memory.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between non-pageable and page allocations that can end up in the page file.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if you want to know, you know, a breakdown of mm-hmm. the categories, you can just, you know, click on the chevron here
mm-hmm.
and, you know, active pages.
Mm.
And here I can see that my anti-malware, you know, product is consuming, oh, 136 at idle. So it's doing
yeah.
nothing. The system is idle, sitting idle.
And it's taking 130
yeah.
megabytes of memory,
just
sitting there.
So in this case, it's not a big deal, right? Because I have yeah. 4 gigabytes of memory on my machine. But
oh,
you, know,
sure, yeah.
you take the same product, you put it on a, you know, 2 gigabyte configuration, then it ends up being, you know,
bigger
a problem,
impact.
Bigger
yeah.
impact.
Okay.
So that's how you would do it. I mean, it's easy to navigate.
Yeah.
You can look at drivers too. Well, so let's take a look at page allocation.
Mm.
You know, you're going to see the kernel and the OS here, like win32k.sys.
Yeah.
That's a kernel. That's not the graphics subsystem. So it has to use some memory. But you should also be able to see third parties. Like
oh.
here, the graphics driver is there. You got some. Here I've anonymized the data, not to, you know, point fingers, but
yeah, yeah.
this would be like an AV driver
yeah.
sitting in the driver stack, you know, intercepting IO calls to scan files, right?
I see. And what's this EX and what was the other? There was another category, NX.
Driver pools are in two categories, right? Executable pages
gotcha.
And non-executable pages.
Gotcha.
That's for security purposes, right? You can
mm-hmm.
flag some memory as being non-executable, so the CPU
right.
will never execute instructions from those pages.
Gotcha. So it's sort of code versus data.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So here in the.
So this is the code.
Yeah. So here you see the graphics driver.
Mm.
Those are pages locked by the driver, so
mm.
It's pinned down in memory.
Mm-hmm.
We got 13 megabytes. I mean, no big deal. But now, if you're a driver developer, if you're an OEM, this is all data that, you know, should be of interest to you.
Yeah, yeah. definitely. Trying to optimize kind of your memory footprint.
Yep.
Definitely. Definitely.
That's no 10 minutes after boot, right?
Okay.
It's idle. But what if you bump into a situation at any moment where you have memory pressure and you
yeah.
want to see the same kind of snapshot of
mm-hmm.
the memory footprint?
Mm-hmm.
The ADK test here wouldn't be of help to you.
Yeah, okay, because this is just kind of at idle after the system's booted
yeah,
up
yeah.
and it's sitting there.
You cannot tweak the automation.
This is just sort of your baseline of what your system sits at when nothing's
exactly,
open.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
So to get a snapshot at any moment, you would use WPT,
right.
the Windows Performance Toolkit.
Right.
And you have WPR, the Windows Performance Recorder tool. And there is a provider called Resident Set Analysis.
Oh, okay.
And this is basically the provider that the ADK test uses to
okay.
get that snapshot.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah,
so
we've talked about Windows Performance Recorder in previous episodes. So
people should.
People can go, like, if we want more information on how to get that trace. But it's pretty easy. Like, you just open this UI and hit
Yeah. And the other thing to know, in Windows 10, WPR ships in box.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there is a command line tool that you can use, so you don't have to install the ADK, don't have to install WPT. You can get a trace on any Win 10 system.
Oh, nice.
So I can show you that. I mean, it's quite easy. Where is WPR? And it's a
That's
system
right there.
32.
And this is a command line only version.
Command line only version. Yeah.
Okay.
So you would do WPR /help to get the commands. Like, you can start tracing, select the profile.
Yeah.
And one of the profiles you would providers you would enable would be the resident set analysis provider. So once you've selected that, you would click start, and you can click stop right away. As I mentioned, it's only getting a snapshot. We don't care about tracing over time in this case.
Oh, right.
So yeah, you just start, stop, you get a snapshot,
right,
and then you can open the trace with WPA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So and then that will give you, I guess you'll show us what that'll give.
Yeah. So I think that's the right trace. So I would open the trace with WPA as I would normally do with any ETL file. And then underneath the memory KPI, the key performance indicator, right? There, you're going to find multiple graphs related to memory usage. One of them is the resident set.
Oh, okay.
Plugin.
And that's the thing we selected when we took the trace, that checkbox, right? Okay.
So here I have, I'm going to expand this. So I have that data that's basically one snapshot, right? You see all the data here is in the trace rundown section. There's nothing while I was tracing, just a single snapshot taken here.
Oh, okay.
And you can look at memory per process, per page type.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a memory map file? Is it working set? Is it active memory? Is it modified pages? So that would be in the MM list.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's a file that's being mapped to memory, you're going to see the path to that file in the description field.
Interesting. So is this using the same provider? Do you know VMMap, right, is one of those sysinternals tools?
Yeah.
It gets some of the same data.
I'm not sure if VMMap is using the same provider. It probably is, or one of the other memory providers, like VirtualLock, or you can see here you have multiple graphs.
Right, yeah.
We're going to go into details of some of them later. But
To
get a just snapshot, resident set is the one to use.
Right, okay.
And so here I could sort by size.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see something here. You have NA at the top.
So
it's not a process, right? So any driver allocations, those are not part of a process.
Right,
they would
right.
end up here.
So the kernel itself also, I would assume. Well, no, there's a separate one here for system. So
yes.
I assume some of that is kernel stuff.
Yeah, so virtual allocations by the kernel would end up here,
but
stuff like driver pools, map files, images that are shareable memory would also end up here. For example, here the biggest is
images.
Map files and images.
Yeah.
So first thing I usually do is to put the MM list column first. No, I care about modified and active memory.
Okay.
Standby memory, we have the concept of standby lists,
right?
Mm-hmm. So that's memory not being actively used right now. It's been used recently, ends up in those lists. It's not freed from memory, right? It sits there in case you need it again sometime soon. Speeds up the system responsiveness, right?
Right. So standby is not necessarily hurting you. It's just
an
optimization. The active and modified is really the stuff that's in use.
In use right now that may be causing memory pressure and responsiveness issue.
Right.
So I would select active and modified and filter to selection and only keep those categories there.
Okay.
And then we'll focus on active. You can see Edge here, some services, right?
Uh-huh.
So as an app developer, I would focus on my process and see what is my process using.
Mm-hmm.
We can take a look at page categories too. You have a lot of categories.
And
top of mind, I don't remember the definitions of everyone.
Yeah.
But images, those would be executables.
DLLs
and stuff. DLLs, so you can see here, DLLs,
executables. Uh-huh.
And the size they take in memory.
Right.
Non-page pool, there will be non-pageable allocations from drivers.
Uh-huh.
So here we don't see the driver name though. Yeah, you
see
the
pool
tag. Yeah, the tag of the pool. And here, not to be alarmed, 700 megabytes in ETWB.
Oh.
That's the tracing buffer.
Oh, that's the tracing itself.
The tracing itself. Yeah. No, we allocated 700 megabytes in memory to get that ETL
trace. So that's not actually, that's sort of an artifact of the capturing.
Exactly. So we could go ahead and filter.
Filter that out.
Can I filter out? I would select everything, right?
And okay.
Unselect that category.
Oh, you can filter in, but not filter out.
I thought we could filter out. Well, just a bit longer too.
There you go.
Filter selection.
Maybe?
Well, maybe if I put description first and then I select. Well, yeah, I mean, you get the point, right?
Yeah, my point is you can kind of ignore that one because it's not, it's just.
It's test artifact.
It's the Heisenberg effect there,
exactly.
Right? You've modified it by tracing it.
So if you want to reduce the impact, let's say you have a 2 gigabyte memory configuration, you could select to trace to file. The buffers will be not as big in memory, so you have less impact. You're not influencing the measurement as you trace.
Oh, right, because when you take the trace in WPR, you have that selection of trace to file or
logging mode, memory, or
so
file.
So memory allocates that 700 meg buffer, and then file doesn't do it as big.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now that's how you would do it. Just get a quick snapshot of what's going on in your system. Which process is consuming memory at any point in time, right?
That's
so here I don't have an example of a real issue. Just I took a trace on my system while it was sitting idle, but you could you're playing a game, you're browsing the web, you bump into what appears to be memory pressure. You do that, and you can then file a bug.
And the great thing is it breaks it down pretty granularly, right?
Yep.
It's not just this process has this much memory, this process has. I mean, you can get in and actually see the drivers and the pool tags and what type of memory. It's not just this process has this much memory, but it's this much being used by this allocation. You were showing mapped files versus shared.
It's very granular.
So you can really drill in and see what's that one big allocation.
For an IT pro, you would just look at the top processes. If you're a developer, then you're gonna drill down deeper.
Especially if it's your app or something.
Exactly.
Or if you're putting together a system image or something like that, and you want to know what the top consumers of memory are.
Exactly. And so the next step, if you're an app developer or you're an IT pro who's putting together quick tool like in .NET or whatever, right? And you like to understand, you have a memory leak, right? You have a memory leak. You see the memory footprint in Task Manager increase. Or you want to know, am I causing memory fragmentation? That's another problem. Like if you do the allocation patterns in the wrong way, you can end up fragmenting the heaps and the stacks, and you end up with responsiveness issues.
Interesting.
So to do that, instead of using the resident set analysis provider, you would use like the virtual alloc and the heap providers. The same concept applies to drivers. You
pool.
Could do the same kind of analysis with the pool provider, but we won't focus on drivers.
Right, that's more driver. So heap and virtual alloc is more user mode stuff. And so you would use those instead, and then you can track that over time.
Over time, exactly.
Instead of just that snapshot.
Yes, so over the lifetime of the process or whatever scenario you're going through, we have the tracing in the background. And then over time, you can take a look at everything the code does.
Gotcha, and then you see those pretty graphs and charts. And
so the heap tracing, though, is very verbose.
Okay.
So when you enable the provider, you need to specify which process do you want it enabled for. So you need to add a registry key to do that.
For heap.
Yeah. Here I have a quick comment that I created. But basically, you add the registry key. That's the path,
image
right?
Image file execution options.
And you add the name of the process with the tracing flags enabled set to 1.
Okay, so this creates a D word value called tracing flags under this path, and that's you just have the name of the executable.
The name of the executable you want to trace.
So when that gets launched, the kernel will go, we need to turn on heap tracing.
And you don't have to reboot or anything. This is all dynamic, right? So you add the registry key, and you can go ahead and trace.
Oh, good, good. Okay, is that something where you can enable that with G flags as well?
I think you could. I'm not sure, but I would have to verify. But I think that's an option.
Yeah, okay.
And don't forget to remove the key, right, once you're done, because the next time you trace for another process, you don't want on your box, no, all that tracing enabled for multiple process, you just delete the key.
Right, and, okay.
Yeah, once you're done.
Good, so that's for the heap tracing then?
You do yes, for the heap tracing only.
So you do that first, and then you come in here and do the heap usage checkbox.
You don't have to do anything for virtual unlock. Okay. It's going to trace holistically across the whole system.
Gotcha.
For all processes.
Oh, okay. So for heap.
Yeah.
Okay. So heap is essentially...
Maybe we should explain what the difference is.
Yeah, what is the difference, right? Because people are going to want to know.
So the virtual allocation provider will track any allocations that are made through the virtual alloc API.
Okay.
So this is an API that the code uses to allocate large chunks of memory. Like you have like 1 gigabyte, not 1 gigabyte, but like 1 megabyte or 2 megabytes of memory to allocate.
Yeah.
You can reserve that block in memory through that API.
So this is like a malloc call or
one
of those APIs that just give me a chunk of memory.
The heap is for like smaller allocations. Like if in C++ you do you use the new operator, right, for a very small object, like or int, right?
Okay.
It's gonna end up probably on the heap.
Okay. Right? Okay. So it really just depends on how that memory is being allocated.
Exactly. What API? What mechanism you use in the code to allocate that memory?
Very cool. Very cool.
So what I did is to write up like a dummy app that calls couple of memory allocation APIs, and we can take a look at the code, just for example, see what would end up where. Come on.
That'll load up.
So memory test app.cpp. So this is a native C++ app.
Okay.
And have dummy functions, right? It doesn't mean anything. It's not doing anything useful here. It's just allocating and freeing memory. But you can see here the virtual alloc API is called.
Right.
And then the memory is freed.
Okay.
And in between, there's a delay, right?
So, and this is like 10 megabytes.
10
or
megabytes,
so.
Yeah. Okay. So that would end up in the trace seen by the virtual alloc provider.
That would be
a graph showing me that allocation.
Okay.
And then here you see in that inner loop operation function, I'm allocating I'm using a pointer, and I'm creating a new int value.
Sure.
And that would end up like on the heap, it's a reasonable
value. Okay.
And the thing is, in my code, I'm a bad programmer, and I'm not deleting the value in anywhere. So that's a memory leak
right there,
it's in the loop, right?
Okay.
So inner loop operation, you can see, is being called. So I would allocate that, over time, and the memory will never be freed.
Okay.
So we'll be able to see that in the trace actually.
Oh, okay.
So what you would do is basically select those providers, add the registry key, click start, go through the scenario. In this case, the scenario would be just to launch the app.
Run the app.
Then you save it, and then you open the trace with WPA.
Okay.
And this is what you end up with. Whoops.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, it flashed. Yes. Again, underneath the memory KPI, you're going to have the virtual alloc commit lifetime.
And you've already gone, when you created this trace, you went and set the registry key
for
the heap trace.
Yeah, everything we discussed, I did before getting that trace.
Okay.
So I would drag in virtual alloc commit lifetime. And here I can see this process, allocating memory, I see spikes, I see a steady state memory usage going up, and then the process seems to exit, right, goes back to zero.
Okay.
And if I highlight that, that's my memory test app.exe process.
Right.
So the good thing here is that not only did I trace those events, but I also trace in verbose mode. So I get call stacks matching those events. So I'll be able to see what code in my app created that allocation.
Great, okay.
So here what I'm going to do is I'm going to filter to selection, only focus on that process.
Right.
And now I have over the time how my process is using memory. So those spikes here, that's bad. Because this is creating memory fragmentation. We talked about this.
So
I'm allocating, I'm freeing, allocating, freeing, allocating, freeing. What I should do is allocate a big chunk, like a buffer I know I'm going to use to perform operations, and stop doing that because I'm fragmenting my memory space.
Not only fragmenting it, but I know I've seen some cases where, especially drivers that allocate and deallocate big buffers frequently, can really impact system performance because on a multi-proc system especially, you are throwing away the L2 cache every time.
Yes, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So there's sort of these big memory allocations are a very expensive operation.
Yep. And the other question I would have for the dev here is, why is the steady state memory usage here increasing? Here, the lifetime of the process is only like 30 seconds, but what if over time this is keeps increasing, higher and higher? Then I'm always using a higher amount of memory, and I may end up in memory pressure situations, right? So here we can zoom on a spike, right? First thing, if I'm the dev or a person who's investigating that process, is what is going on here? Why are those spikes being allocated? So I can zoom in. And here you have the concept of impacting size and size.
Okay.
So impacting size is the memory that is still allocated at the end of the time interval.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm starting with about 8 or 11 megabytes? What is it? Size 10.
10.
And then at the end, I'm still around 10.
At 10.
So maybe it's not the same pages, but overall I have 8 megabytes of memory at the end of the interval that was that was there at the beginning. Right? So it's impacting the overall footprint. And the size is the sum of all allocations during the interval I'm looking at.
Okay.
So the size is 21 megabytes because at peak I had 21 megabytes of memory allocated.
Okay.
But the impacting size would be the steady state.
Okay.
So you could expand this and look at each individual allocation over time.
I see.
But the interesting thing here is, as I mentioned, we have the call stack.
The call stacks, because you want to know where in my app did I do that.
Exactly. Right? So as usual, when you want to see call stacks, you're going to have to have the symbols, decoding enabled.
Uh-huh.
So you configure the symbol path.
Right.
So that's the public.
The standard Microsoft
public symbol server.
And then you've also added some to your, I see this is the engine.
Yeah, the engine. And then I would add also the path where my symbols are for the app itself.
Right.
So I got that here.
That's the important thing here.
So I got a custom folder here. That's the PDB for my app.
Okay.
So I would copy that path, and I would add it to...
Add that to your path.
Here.
Okay.
And then I would add this in my column here. Click OK. And then I should be able to decode that whole thing quite quickly because I've pre-generated the symbol cache before. Yeah. Well, hopefully quicker than that.
They're loading 20%. Yeah.
But what you would end up doing next is adding the commit stack.
Commit
column.
Stack. Okay, so this is the stack when the memory was committed.
Committed,
allocated.
Yeah. So I can expand the call stack.
Looks like it's still.
And you can see here the main function of my process.
Yeah.
All the memory allocated is underneath, the bulk of the memory allocated here, 21 megabytes out of 21.06
is that
underneath
path.
That main function. And then I can go down and I can see breakdowns.
Oh, inner loop operation.
Inner loop operation, allocate scratch buffer, operation one. So operation one allocated 10 megabytes, and that's the spike I'm seeing here.
Right.
Allocate scratch buffer, 10 megabytes. That's the steady state memory, the overall I'm seeing here. And inner loop, only 20 bytes. So not a big deal.
20K,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But that inner loop, as you remember, is that...
That was that int
That
thing.
Int allocation,
yeah, so
right?
Pretty small.
Yeah. So that's how you would do it, to look at virtual allocations.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, we also have the heat tracing.
Oh, yeah.
So we can zoom out. And then we're going to close the virtual alloc graph and look at heap allocation. So there is another graph for heap.
Oh, you can see that leak.
And you see the leak here. it increases, increasing, increasing, up until the process noise terminated. Again, it stops there because this is the exit routine, so that stops, but it keeps increasing, so that's a problem. Right. And again, I have my process. There's only one process because we only enable tracing for this process with the registry key.
Right.
And each heap has a handle, right, to identify identify it uniquely.
Right, And I guess when you're writing a program, you don't really think about the multiple heaps.
That's abstracted.
You're
right, you
don't really care.
The OS manages that.
Yeah.
So here, the heap handle would be AC00. That would be the first one here. Mm-hmm. And I would see every single location, like 4K each.
Okay, that's
so one page.
Oh, right, because it's going to do on page.
Yeah, people should know. Right. Like the smallest unit that a program can allocate is the size of a page, which is the smallest memory unit you can have access to. Yeah. And on Windows,
4K.
It's 4K.
Okay. So each int is going to take up 4K.
4K, yeah. So that's bad. So that's why you should allocate a buffer, do your operations in the buffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, we have the call stacks here. So I'm going to add the, where's the stack here?
Stack, okay.
And I would see.
Kind of drill into that.
Yeah, I'm going to drill. Well, I should probably sort by size. And keep in mind that you have the new operation, but you also have a lot of other things that the process is doing. So you should take a look at the one that has the highest number of allocation, right? Probably that's the 1,000 here. So it's probably underneath here. Yes, when main inner loop operation, operator new.
That's so, your new int.
So that's my code calling in the new API.
And it calls in and it does a malloc.
Yep.
Okay.
And there's 1,000 of them. None of them are freed over the course of the lifetime of that process.
Right.
That would be a memory leak.
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah. So that's not going to go away until you actually kill the process or it terminates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's basically the top level view of how you approach memory analysis.
Right.
Going to go deeper into specific issues and corner cases and specific analysis method, but basically
this is the overview of what the tools are, how to use those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Great. So we kind of got a chance to look at how you sort of see the baseline memory usage of a Windows system. And then, kind of how to drill into specific apps and cases where something is using memory and how much. Awesome. All right. Well, that's our show for this week. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down there or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.